I pull her close to me. "You're my getaway driver," I tell her. "Get the fastest of Nine's cars and meet me by the zoo. You guys shouldn't have a problem getting out, but they might be looking for me. I should be able to jump to the next roof and get down that way." I step back from the elevator, then lunge forward to plant one last kiss on Sarah. "I love you," I tell her.
"I love you too," she replies.
The elevator doors hiss closed. I race through the destroyed penthouse and back to the workshop. It's been wrecked too. All this hard work. The lecture hall never to be used again. I try to think only practical thoughts. What should I take with me? The first thing I grab is the tablet that shows our locations. 4 dots still displaying in Florida. Damn it. It's one too few. I'm not ready to focus on the identity of the one we've lost, or what to do about Ella, or the fact that Cetricus Ra might actually be Lorik. I grab a stray duffel bag from beneath an overturned table and duck into the lecture hall to load it up with guns. I stow the tablet in there, too, and throw that over my shoulder. I want to keep my hands free just in case any Moogs are still lurking around. So I levitate all of our chests with my telekinesis. With all the windows blown out, I can easily hear the sirens wailing down below. This is all I'll be able to carry. It's time to get back on the run. The inheritance is floating behind me. I run out of the workshop and back through the penthouse. I need to get to the roof and see if BK made it out alive. Before I can reach the stairs, the elevator dings open. Damn it, I was too slow. I look over my shoulder, expecting to see some of Chicago's finest with guns drawn. Instead, it's a lone Mogadorian. Pale as usual. Dark hair in his face, younger than normal. And he looks different than the other Moogs I've seen, more human. A gun pointed in front of him, at me. All the chests thunk to the floor as I redirect my telekinesis, snatching the gun out of his hands. "Hey!" he screams, and if he says anything else, I'm not listening. I'm thinking about the friends I lost tonight, the dark future I had to suffer through. Killing this straggler Mogadorian won't change any of that, but it's a start. I pitch a fireball in his direction, but he dives out of the way, hiding behind the torn-up husk of a couch. I lift it up with my telekinesis and fling it aside. He holds up his hand, surrendering. I'd probably think that was weird if I was thinking at all. "Too late for that," I growl. Just as I'm about to hurl another fireball at him, the Moog stomps on the floor. The whole room shakes, furniture tipping over, the carpet rippling like there's a wave passing underneath it, and then the seismic jolt knocks me backwards, stumbling, and I feel the cold fingers of open air clawing at my back. Stupid. I was standing right in front of a broken window. I swing my arms, desperately trying to regain my balance, but I don't fall. He's got me. The Mogadorian has grabbed me by the front of the shirt. "I don't want to fight you," he shouts in my face. "Stop attacking me!" As soon as he's reeled me back in, I shove him away. He doesn't come at me, but he remains crouched, ready to dodge anything I might throw at him.
"You're 4,
he says. "How do you know that?"
"They know what you look like, John Smith. What all of you look like. And so do I,"
he hesitates.
"Except, I also remember seeing you as a child, running for a ship while my people murdered yours."
"You're the one Malcolm and Sam talked about." My voice comes through gritted teeth. I can't shake the feeling that I should run or fight when faced with his kind. It's ingrained in me, but I try to keep it in check.
"Adamus Sudica."
The Moog introduces himself.
"I prefer Adam."
"Your people killed a friend of mine tonight, Adam," I spit, knowing my anger is unreasonable, not able to help myself. "And they kidnapped another."
"I'm sorry,"
he says.
"I came as quickly as I could. Are Malcolm and Sam safe?"
I just don't know how to react to that. A Moog showing compassion. Even if Sam and Malcolm said it was true, I still never really imagined it.
Yeah, they're fine.
Good,
Adam replies. His voice still has the harshness of a Mogadorian.
We need to get out of here.
We?
You're hurt, angry,
Adam says, moving cautiously closer to me, like I might suddenly take a swing at him.
I get that. But if you want to hurt them back, I can help.
I'm listening. Adam extends his hand to me.
I know where they live.
Something recoils inside of me, at the sight of that pale hand waiting for mine. But if what I saw in that vision was true, if Five is working for the Mogadorians, then why shouldn't we have one of them working with us? I take Adam's hand, squeezing hard. He doesn't cringe, only looks me right in the eye. All right, Adam, I say. You're gonna help me win this war.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Fall of Five, Book 4 of The Lorian Legacies by Pittacus Lore. This program was produced by Dion Audio Services. The director was Bob Dion. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2013 by Pittacus Lore. Production copyright 2013 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.